can adorn the halls of Bacchus, which will lodge us well. With them, my heart, what can I do?
It's another beautiful fall afternoon here in Asheville, Paris of the South. I guess our big local event today is the appearance by Barack Obama at Asheville High Stadium, which is sure to fill the stadium at least. And he's speaking just about now, so they tell me.
It's tough competition.
Tough competition, yes, yes. I know my daughter was waiting in line this morning at 9:30, so... Yes, a lot of excitement there. I still remember going to see Dwight Eisenhower when he was campaigning for president in 1952. I must have been all of like six, but the memory.
And you were excited, did you?
I was excited.
A button.
Yes. Right, right. I like Ike, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. Ah, yes. Well, yes, this indeed is wordplay, and we are together once again with Rose McLarney, who's... doing her annual birthday show with us, or near birthday.
I was just telling Jeff that it gives me a chance to practice all year. So
that's right. Yeah. That's right. It's great to have an annual, deadline, as it were.
Yes, exactly.
At least once a year, one should have a deadline. Yeah. Well, Rose, what have you been doing? The last time we checked in with you, you were going to the MFA program at Warren Wilson College, and writing a lot of stuff, a lot of new poems. What happens?
Well, what happened after that? I started a new job, so I've taken a semester off from Warren Wilson, but I'll be going back in January.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking thesis thoughts. I have to write that when
thesis
I go back.
Thoughts.
Yes.
Oh. Talk about that deadline of all deadlines.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Well, and what else do you... So what are you working with now?
I work with the Appalachian Sustainable Agriculture Project, and I do marketing and communications for them. So that means spreading the word about things that small family farmers are doing, and, of course, spreading the word about the work that the organization does.
Yeah. That's great.
It's a nice job. You get to do all this sort of schmucky side of marketing, but actually do it for nice people.
For good people. Right. Yes, yes. That's how long has that organization been doing that work in Asheville?
Well, they work throughout Western North Carolina. The organization actually started in Marshall, but they've been I think they've been working for about 10 years.
About 10 years. Mm-hmm. They've been around for a while. So,
yes.
Yeah. Such a good project, and Asheville is surrounded by organic farmers, which is one of the great, wonderful things about living here.
Yes, this is one of my work statistics. There are over 12,000 small family farms in Western North Carolina, and that's a lot.
12,000 small family farms. Yes, that's probably one of the higher ratios per land area in the country.
It is, and for this state too, we have a larger percentage of farms than any other area in the state, while having the smallest percentage of population. So.
Yeah. Well, good. Good work. Good for you.
Thanks.
Well, let's hear what you've been doing. Let's hear some poems.
Okay. I'm going to start off with a long one.
Great.
While I still have breath.
You didn't used to write long poems.
No, I didn't. I made myself do it, and now I like it. So we'll see.
Good.
If other people do, too. This one's called Company Kept. One is hungry, so we share on her want. All of the women peeling away from the bar. Among the many and the clink of glasses, toasting each other, and chairs and corners, everything the crowd presses them to touch, a voice is calling after us. It's cold out there. Come cozy up to me. But we go. To a Moroccan restaurant. We already know just how the belly dancer there wants to be loved. So she chooses our table to seduce, confiding in us with lips pursed, then parted, an eyebrow arched. Each shake that takes her body away to the left is undone by the one that brings it back to the right. Her unfurled stomach, hips in fuchsia silk and sequined. Those of us who have said we were not hungry consider filling ourselves with grape leaves, lamb, Turkish delight. The woman beside me whispers, I like how that has no function, as either a sleeve or a glove. speaking of satin around the dancer's arm, above the wrist, and bearing shouldered. Outside, it's cold, and we clump together, cutting through the line cook speaking Spanish, circled around the fire of cigarettes, stopping when we understand they are offering us one, continuing until we come to the theater. There will be a show, an actress pretending to make real feelings in us, our possible tears for their spit in the spotlight, so close it glows, and then the drive home. For me, it is a long one, and because I do not sing, I slap myself to stay awake, traveling through country where lights grow lesser and houses keep greater and greater spaces between each other. At dawn, dry-mouthed and disliking the light, another long drive, anywhere, for groceries and more gas. I pass horses on a steep slope, standing apart in what looks like an argument for being alone forever, because love is when the track of your talk comes undone, and you spill your stories into each other, and these animals are still, breathing fog, but certain of singularity, this morning. This is country for the ones who have stayed true to self-sufficiency and silence, and speak of family land, kin, our kind, where you come from, and will not come too close to you when they do speak, or when walking by. They'll never cross your land. After the horses, there's a house on fire, but I only see the smoke and a scattering of onlookers. A man I might have married, standing back at a safe distance.
Nice. Nice.
Thank you.
I know our listeners out there in Radio Land can't see these, but it probably is clear from your voice, the way your phrasing is working, that you're working with a much longer line now mm-hmm. than you used to, which is really, really interesting. You're not doing couplets exactly in
no.
the same way.
Yeah.
No
more.
No more couplets. Never say never.
I mean, right.
They have their use.
They do.
So what's led to this change in practice? Have you just been reading more, been looking around for models, been just experimenting?
I'm not saying this is what I'll be doing forever, but what I became more interested in was writing stories, which weren't necessarily my own, because I was tired of writing about myself. So I think the longer line allows for more of a narrative style. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing with this one, is trying to tell a story, but be as careful with the language as I would be in a poem,
yeah.
which just means that it's more sustained, but hopefully not prosy.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's got rich word patterns, indeed, indeed. It's just not depending on that line-to-line torque quite mm-hmm. as much as, you know, the, you know, short line couplet-based mm-hmm. type, yeah, poems do. So yeah, it's very nice.
I could read one that's very short next, just to. For contrast, if you want.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one's very short. You okay. can't. This one is written in three-line stanza, so tercets, uh-huh. just to throw us off.
Yes, good.
The title is A Stand. Here's my faction on the ground. Broken off, bee comb. Shake the shard. Soldiers move. The half inch of the sealed cell. The length of the lives they were born to. One day may I be bold. Stay kneeling and sitting, seating and kneading. Rise up, scent of bread. I'll be a soldier of honey and home.
Nice, too. You
okay.
still use a short line very well.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have both, you know, the long line when it's called for and the short line for, you know, it's the short line works especially well in short poems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really hard to make it work over a narrative, you know, I think, as you do. So, yeah, having tried it. what's your writing like these days? I mean, how do you go about it? Do you practice? Do you write when you're driving at the farm? So
you think so. I do try to collect a lot of imagery. I have this is probably not an ideal time to answer this question, because I sort of have a pattern of I do most of my writing in the winter, and in the summer I try to write, but then I end up running around outside and yeah. doing something else instead almost right. all the time. So what I'm doing right now is just keeping a notebook where I write down an image every day, and then hopefully in the winter I'll turn them into more meaningful things. I have been writing some poems this summer. I haven't well, it's not summer anymore, but
right.
in the last few months, and I didn't bring my newest stuff with me because I still need to sit down with it and spend more time with it. So
it's still
I think
in the notebook phase.
Yeah. So yeah. what you're saying is seeing things when I drive out to farms. Yes, I'm definitely noticing images, but sometimes I have to wait and see what they turn into for uh-huh. months and months.
Yeah.
Or they turn into what I would call otherwise what I write are easy poems, which have nice little pat endings, and I.
Easy poems.
Yes.
You mean they come easily to you?
Well, if I don't take enough time with things, I write poems that seem to come easily, and then in later examination are no good. So.
Well, that may be another part of the picture, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. They may have their use, right?
As notes, right. at least.
Yeah. Well, you've always had a your writing has always been really rich and. Imagery from the world, from the outside, from nature, quote-unquote mm-hmm. nature. So it's really interesting to see that that's still the case, in spite of all the other transformations mm-hmm. in your work. And yeah, it's as image-based as it ever was, and the images have the same source, it seems. So you're just hooked on the world. Hooked on the image. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. It's one of the great great powers of poetry.
And a lot of what I'm working on that I don't have with me now, but is trying to write poems without the word I in them at all. It's my little challenge for uh-huh. now. Uh-huh. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's hear something else then.
Okay.
Let's come out of this new impulse.
Well, this poem is written, it's inspired by the terminology that has to do with carpentry, which just really interests me for some reason, because I guess because it explains the way things go together and come apart. So this is a piece of fiction,
uh-huh.
so that ties in.
Okay.
A builder and keeper.
Yeah, I love this one.
A rough framer, her love, sets sturdy king and queen posts. He takes care with cripple rafters and bird's mouth notches too. Evenings afterwards, she feeds him, fittingly, equal parts, strength and sweet. Bread, dough rested and risen, and angel food, beaten and overturned. And matches his work, its words, in her way. Decorating the table with golden saxifrages, the smallest flowers, whose name means splitter of stone. Pointed and circling, his fingers signal the crane to raise and lower, the glass up to where it is indefinable against the sky, then into wall, where it is window. Her fingers pick an unidentified plant with 5 petals, 5 sepals, 5 stamens. It's not cumin, coriander, caraway, can't be eaten, but it's of the carrot family, so protects what grows beside it from pests, a companion plant. He will cross his arms to stop the machines. She will curl her fingers. Come to me. His hands make right angles. Roofs rises and runs. She holds her finger and thumb up to the moon to tell its phase. It's waning when the crescent sits in her left hand, waxing when it fits in her right. By moonlight, she lays one hand on the left side of his chest, his heart. The other flings back, open. Measure of the width she waxes. Nut around bolt, rail run through stile, mortise cut in timber, tenon enters. Molding coped in the corner, one piece shaped to cover the other. Hammer held by belt loop. Belts and sashes entangled in the dresser, teacups in each other's laps, nesting mixing bowl set. Sprout coiled inside seed. Wet flower petals pasted transparent, tight against tree trunk. Hips between thighs, curves of his chest between her back, knees notched together. Good night, dovetailed into the next day. When he arrives at the job site first, he just sits in the quiet before saw, sander, and drill. Turkeys call their mates. Branches remember the boards, touch tips to scaffolding. He pulls her long hair from his beard and lets it drift. This is not idleness. Birds collect the strands, work them into their nests. A house is being built.
Very nice.
Thank you. And that's a poem in 5 parts, which you can't hear.
Right,
but
you can't hear. Yes, right, right. Very nice. So Rose brought in a mix CD today, and that's a track from what, Battles?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. What, do you know anything about the band? Or
I don't. I know I got the MP3s several years ago, so it was probably trendy once upon a time and isn't anymore. Uh-huh. But it's an electronic and analog combination, so that's interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Interesting sounds, yeah. So whom are you reading these days?
I think the poet I've been most excited by recently is Maurice Manning. He's his writing really has nothing in common with what I try to do with my writing, but he writes book-length poems. His most recent one is called Bucolics, and it's a long, unpunctuated sort of meditation on God, which, in saying that, is not the most compelling
argument
for the book, but they're actually very beautiful, and they have a very interesting sound and a very interesting way of examining a mindset that is obviously not the author's, which is admirable to me. And then he also has a series of poems about Daniel Boone, which is interesting. And again,
interesting.
I like them very much. And there's another book, it's called Lawrence Booth's Book of Dreams, and it's another series of poems. So that's been very interesting to me.
Okay, good. I don't know his work. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah. You should check him out. He's the Yale Younger Poet. So
okay,
there you go.
Right.
And as far as people whose style I might find more in keeping with my own, I've been liking Ellen Bryant Voigt's poetry a lot.
Right.
And I always read Louise Glick, just because I always do.
Just because you always do.
Yep.
And Ellen Bryant Voigt is associated with the Warren Wilson program,
right.
I believe, or has been for years.
Yes, she is. She's the
founder.
The founder.
She? Yes, right, right. Brought it down from somewhere in Vermont.
Was it Goddard?
Goddard, I believe, yes. Yeah, way back when. Yeah.
And also Robert Morgan, who I think most people know is a fiction writer, but he writes very nice small, simple poems that appeal to me.
Right, right. You know, we had Bob in for a show last winter and got him to read from his book on Boone, which is very, very nice. Great book on Boone. And I got to talk with him afterwards about his poetry as well. And he hasn't written much in the way of poetry for about 20 years. Really, he's been so devoted to his fiction and to the biography of Boone. But I really like his early work, too. I mean, you know, early work. I mean, his work as a poet, I should say. Right. Yeah. Very fine stuff. And he's a local guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Green River. Zirconia. Yeah.
And if you... His book of poetry, Land Diving, is the main one I've been reading.
Land Diving.
And there's also, what is it, Topsoil Road, I think is the other one. But there are references to places that anybody who spent any time here would recognize.
Right.
Very
indeed.
Clearly.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Good. Yeah, he's a good one to discover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, let's hear what you're doing. Let's hear something else you've been working on.
Let's see. This is a newer one. And the title is Touch. The hound walks the way a woman judging trustworthiness holds her face. A man who is not to be trusted once owned the hound, and he will not be touched. Head down, always dodging. Fear, and a troublesome tendency toward faithfulness, pulling him taut. years now never, an expression pure as a smile, sure as a snarl. He bays high above us, yes, all alone, yet also knowing how he's in our ears. He feeds himself, nose down, feet fast, sharp teeth sometimes stopping to pluck sweet blackberries. Hound on the hill, sun-warm fruit in the hound. There is a tenderness that persists. It's a summer evening below, and there are things to believe in. A good man, having power, holding back. Then a brave woman, her face weighing softness, falling towards yes.
Nice.
Thank you.
Sun-warm fruit in the hound. That's a lovely line and
Thank
lovely
you.
Image. Yeah.
That is not fiction. That my neighbor has a red tick hound who's kind of fascinating to me because he slinks around. He'll never let anybody touch him. But I've watched him pick blackberries. He puts his paw up on the vines or the branches and brings them down and
really?
Eats them.
Mm-hmm. Really?
He eats acorns too. Interesting character.
How about persimmons?
Well, I don't have any persimmons, but I'm sure that if I had them, he would eat them.
Yeah, my uncle Wayne had hounds, and there was one of them in particular I remember who loved to eat the apricots. Not the apricots, excuse me, the persimmons. Yeah, if he had had apricots, he would have eaten those too.
But he's a very conflicted dog. He chases my car, and then if I open my window and yell at him and tell him to go home, he goes home.
So. Well, that's good.
So he might show up again because he wants to be good and fierce at the same time, and that's interesting.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, let's hear another track from this mix CD. Listening to Wordplay on WPVM 103.5, the Progressive Voice of the Mountains. Joining me today, poet Rose McClarney. Rose, thanks so much for coming in. Now, what was that?
Thank you.
Anthony and the Johnsons.
That was Anthony and the Johnsons. Yeah. So it's a male cover of a Nina Simone song. You can make what you want of the gender role there. But.
Right, yes. But another interesting combination of the analog and the electronic, the synthesis and the playing in the background, as it were. Yeah, that's very nice. Interesting.
And I think I originally heard Antonina Johnson's on WPVM, so
yes,
it's appropriate that the...
Indeed. It's the return of Antonina and the Johnsons. Was that something Jason played
on
the show?
Yes, he did, I think. Well, I don't know if it was on a show, but anyways.
Right, anyway, played a lot. Yeah, that's Dr. What is Jason's nom d'air?
Oh, okay.
Dr. Filth? Is it Dr.?
That I can't tell you.
Right. He's still on the air.
Well, that's good.
Yes. Oh, interesting. Well, Rose, what else have you been up to these days?
Life-wise and poetry-wise.
Yeah.
Life-wise, I don't have anything really interesting to tell you. This morning I was collecting kindling and realizing it was getting cold and that I had better get going on the firewood.
Are you still living out in the country anymore?
I am. I live actually farther out than before.
You do?
So, yeah, so that's my other pastime is commuting.
Right.
So I live out in Marshall in, if anyone knows, the Little Pine area on Lower Pawpaw.
Lower Pawpaw, indeed.
Which used to be called Kalamazoo.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
So I've been gathering firewood and picking the last of the lettuce and feeling sorry for it because it's going to freeze soon.
Soon,
and
right. Yeah. Do you have animals again?
I do. I have goats. I'm about to adopt some more goats because it seems that the world is full of goats in need of homes. And so
yes.
I'll be a goat lady soon.
So if any of you out there in Radio Land have goats,
no.
contact us and we will be glad to provide you, Rose's information. So, well, that's great. I know you like that. You like living out in the country with animals.
Yes.
The full 9 yards, which is great. Great. Excellent. Makes you a really natural fit for the work with small farmers and the organic growers. Yeah.
Excellent. I hope so.
Yeah. Did you garden this summer?
I didn't garden too much because I was in the process of moving.
Yeah.
But one thing I've been having fun with is there are a lot of old apple trees on the property where I am now. Uh-huh. So I've been able to do make applesauce and dried apples and apple jelly, and it's a very nice smelling, rewarding process.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was a great year for apple trees down here. We didn't have a late freeze.
Right.
As we often do, and I know I had an apple tree in my yard, and I got over 2.5 bushels of apples.
Wow, from your yard, that's good.
I know, and that's one tree, so it was really astounding. Because before, it's never had more than about 4 or 5. So, yeah, but a great year for it. Yeah, excellent. What kind of apples are these old apple trees? Do you know?
Well, some of them I couldn't even tell you what they are, but the one that I had that was interesting is, I think it's called a golden transparent or translucent. It has a thin skin that it kind of seems to be lit from inside.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
They're nice.
Yeah. Excellent. Do they taste sort of like a golden delicious? Or
a little bit, with a little more of a tangy aftertaste, I guess, certainly than a standard golden delicious.
Okay.
I think maybe a grocery store Golden Delicious doesn't bear much resemblance to the one you might find existing on its own. But.
Out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like a little tang, a little edge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. Well, good. That sounds great. Yeah. Well, let's hear another poem or two.
Okay. Since we're talking about Madison County, they're having their first state fair in however long next weekend, so I'd be interested in that. But this one is about the Mountain State Fair as opposed to the Madison County Fair.
Okay. So,
and it's a relatively new one in spite of what I said. It's called Turning. They're deaf till that'll do. The collies can't hear commands because a jet is passing over. The Mountain State Fair is at the airport. The departure's deafening. But if you stand beneath the Ferris wheel saying, away, it will listen, turning from you. A week into the fair, the animals won't raise their eyes, and the prize-winning roses have thrown down their petals. None of this is what anyone comes for anymore. It's the rides that light up against the night, that shake us and make us shriek. Yes, the terribleness of what humans have built, but also an exhibit of wooden gears, carved and carefully polished by some well-intentioned man to explain mechanics. A boy turns a rack and pinion, and it doesn't just go around. It pulls an assembly line. Imagine the pleasure of the inventor, thinking how his work would move us forward.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, another one. Another interesting track, Rose. What was that?
That was the Alushatistas. I was just telling Sebastian, who just showed up, that they're a local band. So
nice stuff.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Do they, I used to get out to the local band scene a lot, but lately I've got to admit I've been real slack about that. So are they currently playing around and about?
I don't know if they're currently playing around and about, but one of the members is... in another group called Ashes in Order with an accordion player, and I know that they are going to be playing in October on the 23rd, I think, at Bobo. Don't go to the show without checking.
But. Okay. Yeah, that's at Bobo Gallery.
Yes.
One of the great night spots here in Asheville. Yeah, indeed. Well, Sebastian, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to see you, man.
Good to have you back.
We haven't been in the studio together for a while.
It's been a spell. Yeah. Like a month or something. I don't know. Yeah.
You've been traipsing around doing all the literary things. No wonder you can't do the music scene.
One can only do so much. So, yeah. Right.
And so, did you talk about it all, the scene down at the Lenora Ryan, the Black Mountain?
We haven't talked about that. Yeah. Right. It was a fantastic scene. It was really a lot of fun. We had, of course... The Hickory was in the edge of Hugo, I believe it was, the tropical storm that was moving up the coast. So we had rain blowing horizontal on Friday and most of Saturday. So it was, and of course there was the gas shortage.
Which was hard to get down there.
It was. I had to miss the dance performance on Saturday night to go out and find gas so I could make it back on Sunday. But all, it was, there were some wonderful performances.
I bet.
A lot of good poetry, of course.
I know, tons.
Yeah. And of course it's all been recorded and
good.
Someday we'll have it on, you know, on Wordplay and make it available to the world at large. But
next Sunday?
No.
Someday.
Yeah. I'm told Rand Brandis, who organized the festival, said he had over 90 hours of, you know, recorded stuff. So
wow.
90 hours. Of course that's the music and everything. So
yeah.
And so who knows when that will all get
edited
and processed. But yeah
good stuff.
There was Tom Meyer, especially, I thought had some just fantastic new work. There
good.
Was stuff written since Jonathan Williams' death. So really right off, as it were. You know,
yeah, fresh off, fresh off the page.
Right.
Or
right.
Fresh on the page.
Fresh on the page, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Remarkable. Speaking of which, Rose, you got some pages in front of you that look like they're newly...
I've already been through quite a few of them, actually, but...
You got some more?
Yeah, you had a book, though. What happened to your book?
Oh, it's just a book that I'm reading. It's not,
yeah. We can't make you read it on air. All right.
I can try.
All right, so I'm supposed to read a poem now.
Yeah.
Sunday. There's a sale on the bypass. Folding tables set up on the highway's weedy margin. Men already wearing camouflage only blend in to the tiger stripe and tree bark they buy. Forest patterns irrelevant against the traffic. Today, they are hunters. They seek coats and cover. Monday, builders again. They paint over fingerprints and measurements on walls, immaculate as if created by no man. One moves a sheet of plate glass alone, his grip all against its great shivering, bowing ability to break. Seen from a distance, he dances, empty-handed, partner of what's colorless and without purpose.
Nice.
That's nice. I love that image, the image with which that concludes. Yeah. Right.
I actually started noticing that after I tried to move a piece of plate glass myself. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pesky stuff to handle.
Yeah. Like, so then I started watching, he can't do it either.
Yeah. It's like carrying sheetrock, but with a lot more consequences.
Right.
Yeah. Like you could lose an arm carrying glass.
Yeah.
Hard to lose an arm carrying sheetrock.
You just throw it down on the ground and swear at it.
Yeah.
So when Glynis was here last, we talked a little bit about her being at Wilson, Warren Wilson's MFA, and you are there as well. And are you done through? Are you done with it now?
Or? Oh, no.
No. You're a year
in.
I took a semester off, so I have
to go back in January.
Okay. What's that been like for your work? And have you found influences of, I mean, its influence, you know, or the working with particular teachers or the workshop process in good or bad ways on your poems?
It's been most useful for me, I think, in having an advisor that I'm working with whose work I really admire. For instance, my advisor last semester was Deborah Alberry, who I like, I liked as a poet before I ever had met her at Warren Wilson. And so working with somebody whose taste I really respect and admire is helpful, because you get how the Warren Wilson process works is you send poems to your advisor, and then they mark them up and send them back to you, and then you revise them and send them to your advisor, and they send them back to you, and it keeps going. And so it takes away sort of that the sort of lonely, pointless feel that can come with trying to rework things, to have somebody looking at them that carefully. So that's been tremendously useful. Deborah in particular was good at helping me write slightly more subtle endings to poems rather than trying to end with a punch. Mm-hmm. So each different advisor I've had has helped me work on different aspects. My first advisor helped me concentrate on loosening up my lines, and then Deborah had me concentrating on loosening up my message, so who knows what the next one will be. But I'm doing my thesis when I go back, as I told Jeff, so.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that. But there's also the reading list component of the program is nice, too.
Yeah.
They suggest great books to read, and then you have a incentive to actually read them.
Yeah, and you have to do a craft talk, too, don't you, next? Or
That will be the next semester.
That'll be the next semester.
The final semester, you teach a class or do a lecture.
Yeah.
Okay. Neat. Yeah.
Rose is the first Warren Wilson undergrad to go to take the jump to the MFA, which is really cool.
Oh, really?
I think.
Really.
Yeah. I'm getting all kinds of Warren Wilson. I'm organizing a conference at Warren Wilson right now, and I'm going to give a talk to Warren Wilson, but it has nothing to do with poetry. But
nice.
It's funny that I'm there so much.
Oh, good. Yeah. What's the conference?
The Marketing Opportunities for Farmers Conference.
Oh, awesome. Great.
Yeah. Rose is
in February.
With an organization that supports local organic farmers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Great work. Good work.
Yeah. Was it ASAP or?
ASAP, Appalachian Sustainable Agriculture Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was pointing out to Jeff that there's a sticker in here that mocks our bumper sticker. It says "Doof Local" instead of "Local Food."
Oh yeah, Doof Local.
Right.
Very good.
I'm gonna get my business card changed.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be. Yeah, you're right. It's backwards.
Transposed.
Yeah. Transposed, but not done backwards. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Anyway,
we could probably work on that.
Well, I'd like to hear another poem or two because I have to run off and hear Holly Iglesias read the Malaprops at 3. I think she's
okay.
This is the first Monday of the month, so it's time for a Malaprops Poetrio.
Yeah. So
yeah.
And I'm getting a double hit of poetry here.
Yeah.
All right.
Excellent.
I love the sound of rustling paper. Could you just keep?
I'm rustling because I'm now in the stack of. I wasn't sure if I was going to read these, but
now I'm being forced to file.
This one's called Descendant. Grandfather asked, "Adam and Eve and Pinch Me Tight went down to the river to bathe. If Adam and Eve were drowned, who was left to be saved?" I answered, "Pinch Me Tight," and he squeezed my hand until it hurt in his big hand. Who was made flesh by this? Not me. Who felt? He who had drowned kittens, kidding, after a mean life, him risking doing a thing that didn't mean what it seemed. At the end of his life, open. But what can a lidless box keep? The latch clatters, bone rattle. Who will be left? Take my hand, hold me tight.
That's a beautiful poem.
Yeah,
thank
it
you.
It is lovely.
And those are couplets, Jeff.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see.
I was giving those. I could hear those.
Yeah, and I was giving Glennis a hard time for couplets. Now I.
Yeah, Glennis well, is now writing a couplet.
Oh.
You got a couple one-liners in here.
That's true.
Yeah.
I love that box in the middle of this poem. At the end of this life, open. What can a lidless box keep? Not near the, not in the middle, but close.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you.
And you were considering. You were considering not reading that. Why?
Because I haven't practiced.
Ah.
Okay.
Do I read it again?
No, it's all right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Practice, practice, practice.
Or the practice of practice, as Alice Coltrane says, I got from Van.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Rose, let's hear one more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have any requests from... Or no, I should just pick
I like them all.
You have this poem called Descendant. Could you read that poem? Sebastian.
All right. I will read this one. It's called Set Ways. Two old men stop their walk in the woods to set a while. One tells the other about two trucks he came across in Beauty Spot, long abandoned, leaf-covered, red metal muted by moss, inspection stickers years expired, even numbers ceding to nature's claim. Young men, wild when it came to motors, went four-wheeling and got stuck. Thrashing home through laurel hells, they invented crimes that could happen now, though the world isn't the way it used to be. Though the boys wanted to look innocent, they had to hang their heads, searching out roots, mine shafts, what might bring them down on the ground. Did the boys deserve sympathy, or the trucks our envy, settling forever into Beauty Spot? The gears won't shift again. Going nowhere, they are like the old ones who set a spell, and on summer evenings do make a magic of slowness, staring into the woods as if they can still see ginseng and panthers in wait among stones.
Dusty mason, a looming shadow.
To Wordplay on WPVM 103.5 FM, the progressive voice of the mountains. I'm your host, Jeff Davis. Joining us there for a while was Sebastian Matthews, who's been a longtime co-host for Wordplay. And We ran him off, though. That's right. Our guest today is Rose McClarney. So, Rose, let's hear another poem. And by the way, what was that we just heard?
Okay, I think two songs played. I'm not sure, but the one we just heard was Prefuse 73 remixing an album by The Books. Uh-huh. And before that was The Handsome Family.
Ah, okay. Now, I've actually heard of The Handsome Family,
okay.
So good.
All right. This poem is called Living Up. The ceilings are 5 feet high, house crowded by history, and rotting rafters he'll have to tear out. The tall young man who just bought it. Beside a stooped old apple, too long unpruned to be bowed by fruit. While the day backs down behind the ridge, he makes plans. He wonders for a moment what it would have been like to be born here, though he is hearing the answer when the peepers in the boggy place below send up their little staggered songs and let them fall down. If you have had spring evenings, then you know how it has always been here. Love always shot, with the feeling this is the last of it. Always told to outgrow the mountains that would block your view, these serious, sad playhouses, these low old places, where you want to hunker, where you can't stand up straight.
I remember Thomas Wolfe. You know, Thomas Wolfe's birthday was like just a couple days mm-hmm. later. Yeah, happy birthday, Tom. Yeah, wherever you are. But he had this a real love-hate relationship with the mountains because they were like a wall that, you know, kept the world. It was a wall that worked both ways. It was protective, and yet it also blocked the world. You know, kept one from easily getting to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The world at large, the world outside the mountains. Yeah, that sounds like a poem that sort of digs into that same territory.
Mm-hmm. This was specifically about helping a friend who was renovating an old house, and you know, those old houses that are really have ceilings so low that modern people just don't fit in them. And so looking at that in the combination of how inhospitable the land that this house was built on is what made me write this. But I think there's a Fred Chappelle poem that talks about different areas of Western North Carolina, and it's something about how the line where Buncombe and Madison, the line between Buncombe and Madison, but where they never meet, and he also refers to Bloody Madison can't make a go, too much the rocks was right. The line. Right. So
too much the rocks, yeah.
It's interesting to see how, I guess, the history of the place is so shaped by landscape.
Yeah, indeed it is. Yeah. Fred is, of course, from Western North Carolina also, grew up in Canton. So, yeah. And we featured a reading by Fred last year as well.
Oh, well.
Yeah. He read at the Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center, one of our great local venues.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was wonderful to go out and hang out with him afterwards because I hadn't seen him probably for 30 years. I actually studied under Fred at UNC Greensboro many years ago. So, yeah. Fine poet. Yeah, indeed. Well, let's hear something else.
Okay. Let's see. This one's called Where I Will Spend My Life. An old man and I study the barn, wormy chestnut gone gray. The sun sets behind it, boards alternating with absences, railings against the light cast at us. A wall makes its way for a boulder at its corner, each board cut to length, curved to accommodate and fit the flux of rock. He says, so they could try to grow something on the good land, they built barns and houses in the hardest places. This is where, and how, my heart will be. Like this building, its nails hard, in their holding.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice metaphor. Yes.
I like to try to talk to people and write poems based around things that people have actually said to me, and even if I can only imagine the rest of what they're they're thinking, I like to use the actual quotes.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever have you come across Jonathan Williams' work? I mean, he was such a master at going out and just hearing what people were saying.
I have, yeah, because he lived in I'm originally from Franklin, and he lived in Highlands,
right.
And I remember you could sometimes go to events in Highlands and hear him or in Silva, and it was sort of
right.
Improbable that someone that well-known would be there, but I do remember seeing him from when I was young.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good. Yeah, that's right. He did a lot of events in Highlands and in that immediate area.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You were lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, let's hear one more. I think we've got time for,
All right. This one might be a little bit of a down note to end on, but I'm going to a children's birthday party immediately after this show, so it will prepare me.
Okay.
Love of self. Women, when they hold children on their hips, shelving themselves, explain why they endure the caretaking that breaks their speech down into little do-you-wants, shrinks their voices, say, you don't know what it's like until you have one. The same way men lifting rifles, shouldering butts, accept the recoil coming, distorting whole hard faces for the sake of a single eye squinting at what might turn a target among the trees, tell you, there's a feeling when you hold it that's like nothing else. To look away at any other thing.
Nice. Well, Rose, thanks so much for coming in today. And good luck at the children's birthday party.
And thank you, Jeff. It's been a pleasure talking to you. We'll see how I'll do for the rest of the day.